shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm so excited for this movie. Years from now, I'm going to be able to say to my two kids, thank you for staying inside and not arriving early so that I could see this crazy Mark Wahlberg movie and talk about it with these guys. Our movie, 2015, question mark? The Gambler.
2014.
It was 2014. Okay, 2014.
It was released around prime Oscar season.
Oh, what a disappointment for so many people in this. The Gambler. I am joined this week by Brian Mueller.
Why do you have to start with
that? I know. I turned up the heat. I'm sorry. There's really not many quotes from this movie that you can go with. Jack Easterbrook.
I just want you to know that I'm approaching this film review from the point of view of fuck you.
By the way, for anyone who has not listened to our Gallows episode, you need to listen to it just for Jack's impression of the kid who's yelling at Charlie the Ghost. It's the best thing we've done in weeks. And Cody Wolf.
I don't care. Just let me die.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not a man.
How many movies have we done with Mark Wahlberg?
This has got to be three.
We've done because we did
Transformers 4.
Oh, yeah, Transformers,
Transformers
happening.
4, The Happening,
Isn't,
The
is
Gambler.
Is there another one? No. Maybe it just feels...
We did the one with the trees. What? No.
That's The Happening.
Oh, The Happening. Okay.
So this is just our third movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it feels
okay.
like a lot more.
It feels like more.
This had a lot of... I had a lot of flashbacks right now to Runner Runner and to 88 Minutes.
Yes! I was totally all movie long. I was like, this is...
It's like Runner Runner meets 88 Minutes.
Yes. All right, so we're going to try to wind through the plot here. It starts with a very old man in a hospital room saying to Mark Wahlberg, I need to know what you're worth when I leave you nothing. And... we're really not given any context on this. You could even argue we're never given any context on this.
I thought it was his dad for a while, until later on they say it was his grandfather.
They
weren't even clear on like who.
Oh,
what
that
their
was
relationship.
His grandfather.
And he says he's
says something later on about it.
And he says he's leaving him nothing. But later on, we establish that he's the seventh richest family in America or something.
Well, his family is, but he's not left.
But
oh,
he's
I thought
not.
That. Oh, that was his grand. What happened to his dad?
Jessica Lange left his dad.
Yeah.
I guess
there's
the
a
dad's
line
still
later
alive.
On. Yeah, there's a line later.
I thought that was his dad that died.
It was really confusing.
That's why I thought too for a while.
This scene is only we're only given any information in this scene about 2/3 of the way through the movie when Jessica Lange references that was his grandfather. And we're like, okay.
Why would the grandfather leave him anything anyway?
Well, I mean, if it's a large enough estate, maybe he liked his grandson. Sometimes grandparents leave something for their grandchildren.
Maybe.
I thought that they were implying, because the movie's called The Gambler. I honestly thought, okay, this is his father who's dying penniless because he's a gambler. And now Mark Wahlberg has inherited this fascination with gambling. And he's like, don't worry, Dad, I'll... He doesn't say dad, but he's like, don't worry, I'll take care of myself somehow to just kind of reassure him that he's going to be fine. But then we find out later that they're like billionaires, so I don't know why even the scene is in the movie. They could have cut the grandfather's subplot right out.
It really doesn't impact the movie in any way.
Yeah, because what does it matter if he leaves him nothing when, you know, later in the movie he asks his mom for money.
And she gives it to him.
And she gives it to him. It's like, oh, okay, so that... didn't matter that...
No.
It means nothing.
Basically, all that grandfather did was make them go to the bank. He, like, made them run errands. That's what that scene set up.
Yeah. So then Mark Wahlberg drives to a gambling den near Los Angeles that seems to have valet parking or so. I mean,
it's one of these classy like James Bond underground gambling establishments.
Casino Royale.
Yeah,
I think it actually is Casino Royale,
which I did laugh at as being ridiculous. And then there was a part of me that was like, LA, like maybe
anything
this, I don't know,
there.
Maybe this could happen.
I don't know.
He goes in, he's playing blackjack. This is maddening. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the editing is very frantic too.
It's very rapid fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this scene kind of set up my frustration with the rest of the movie, where it's like, because he's got this gambling debt.
Well, and I just like to note too, I've played quite a bit of blackjack in my day. The way he is playing blackjack is not just compulsive.
it's reckless.
Moronic. Yeah. I mean, it's like he doesn't even understand how to play blackjack. Yeah. Like, and I know that they're saying he's a compulsive gambler, but...
Yeah, he's like hitting on 18.
It's crazy. This is...
And he puts all of his money on every single hand.
Every time, which is he's like doubling.
Which is insane. No, I have watched people play blackjack at very, very high levels of money. I've never seen anyone play blackjack this way, including people who clearly have gambling problems. Yeah, yeah. This is so dumb. And this is when I started to get angry at this movie. Because I'm like...
And we're 2 minutes in.
Yeah, we're 2 minutes in.
But literally, it's like 20,000, double it. 40,000, double it. 80,000, double it. And it's like, and I'm thinking to myself, well, of course he's going to lose it. And this is going to... And sure enough... He gets the bad hand and he's like, oh. And I was like, well, yeah, dumbass, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're like, literally, he's like, I understand the reckless gambling thing, but there's reckless gambling and then there's, you know, like, oh, I'll get $80,000. I guess I'm going to gamble it all away in like one scene. And I'm like, what? Huh?
It didn't even make sense.
You were like, what? It's like he wasn't what? No. He wasn't robbed or anything. Like, he literally, like, robs himself. And then he's like, okay, guess I lost this money. All right. Then he tries to beg money off a gangster. I was like, whoa.
Well, this is where he meets Omar from The Wire. And this was quite confusing to me. And I went through
I will say he plays a fantastic character, though.
Like Omar? Or Omar from The Wire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this movie is very... For as crazy as this movie is, I actually thought almost everyone in it, all the actors, were very good.
Yeah.
In their performances, it just none of it comes together in a cohesive story, but everyone's individual part is like interesting.
Yeah.
He's borrowing money from Omar from The Wire?
I was confused here.
Omar, I think he sees that he owes money.
Yeah.
He sees that he's like a big gambler or something, and so he's like, I'll stake you some money. You give me back this much, you know, percentage or whatever. But it's like a weird scene cuz it's like they
They meet first, remember, when he first gets in there.
Yeah, and they like and do Mark's, the little card.
And Wahlberg's like, F you, I don't need a loan. I'm fine. And then when he loses all the money, then he comes crawling back to him.
Yeah.
The whole...
But it's like, I don't know.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
Like, it is, that does happen, but it happens at such a rapid pace in the story. Like, literally, it's the next scene.
And there's, like, a scene where they're playing, like, war? Like, they both, like, pull a card
out
of
the deck? Whoever draws the highest card... It's the money.
But here's what I don't get. And this happens, this is the first of many times it happens in the movie, is this guy then stakes him $50,000 to continue playing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
The whole movie, though, people are constantly loaning Mark Wahlberg money when they know he's hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
He
never puts any of that money towards paying any other debt.
Right. So it's just like,
gambles it away.
If you look at my notes from like the end of the movie, they're all like in all capitals of being like, why is anyone lending him money? Like,
right. Yeah. And the whole purpose of loans, if you're the one giving the loan, is that you get more money than the money that you loan. So really at this point, when you're loaning money to someone that has shown no ability to ever pay back the loan, all you're doing it is you like hurting people you're looking forward to the point where you get to break his legs when he's not able to pay back the loan.
I can imagine even the real life loan sharks don't like that. They want their money.
Yeah, right. Real life loan sharks would insist on some kind of collateral, like something. Like they're not stupid.
Yeah.
And people, so many people in this movie behave incredibly stupid.
Yes.
Who are not characters that we're told are stupid.
Yeah. Ugh. I didn't understand why he was loaning him money.
So he gets a loan from
And then Omar. He watches him gamble it all away.
He gambles it all away.
Foreshadowing.
He gets this loan.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know, he goes and plays blackjack. And he's like, yo, he puts the 50 grand. I can't remember how much he puts down, but it was 10 or 50 or whatever.
Yeah.
But he does the whole double thing. He wins like 3-4 times. So he has all this money. And he sees him playing roulette. Like across the room. He's like, ooh, roulette. And so he like goes over there and just puts like everything on, was on black.
Yeah, it was on black.
He puts everything black, and I think Omar says, like, oh, red's been coming up all night. He's like, I'll put it on black. And, of course, he loses it all.
He loses it all. At one point, a dealer literally tries to help him, who I feel like is the voice of the audience actually being like, sir, this is not, like, even how this is played. Like,
this
like,
is not
even
how roulette's supposed to be
don't
played.
Look at him, don't look at him, look at me. I'm going to lay down. Double or nothing, double or nothing. No, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to explain to you how the game is played. Don't look at him, don't talk to me. I'm going to make this game. I'm going to make this play. Come on, look at me, look at me. And he's doing this whole bit.
That's so crazy.
The whole time the card shark's like, look, sir, I'm, look, what, I got to.
This is okay. An interesting point. I'd love to ask you guys this two questions, and these are not asked sarcastically; they're asked genuinely.
Okay.
Does anyone here think that this is? Does this movie want you to find the Mark Wahlberg character likable?
I don't think so, because I mean,
I hope not.
Yeah. If so, then it's
I don't
a massive failure.
My problem with the movie is that I think the movie wants us to sympathize.
I think they want you.
You think they? So you no. think they
I think
do.
The movie wants I think us they, to. I'm not I, saying
I think,
that I do.
I think they want you to turn sympathetic towards them.
Well, but that's like my second question is, does the movie want you to care about what happens to Mark Wahlberg?
I think at the end. I think they want you to turn at the end, but at the end I'm like, I don't care. Like, just
right.
break his kneecaps or...
You've gone, you've gone an hour and 45 minutes of not caring, yeah. aggressively right. not caring about this character. And yeah, I think when the movie tries to make that turn, I don't think it works.
No,
but,
not at all.
Yeah.
The only other notable thing that happens in this scene is for like a brief, you know, 5 seconds, they show Brie Larson, who you don't know who she is
yet,
but she's a waitress in the gambling house. Yeah.
And
clearly
I expected that to go somewhere.
Notices Mark Wahlberg.
I expected that to go somewhere and it didn't.
It didn't. That didn't
right.
go anywhere.
Yeah. It was just like,
no.
Oh, that's just her job. Okay. It's
yeah.
not like, oh.
That's never.
She's part of his secret life, too, because she works in this casino or whatever.
Well,
because
she disappears from
well,
this
he
movie
calls,
yeah. for a huge
he calls
chunk.
Her, and we find out that he's a college professor.
Yeah.
I'm skipping ahead a little bit. And he calls her out in class. So he has this big debate about the difference between genius and mediocrity, which kind of, I think, is supposed to fit into the whole theme of this
well,
movie.
Let's talk about how he does that, too. This scene. I mean,
I was
class.
During this scene, I don't know if anyone else was hoping this, but I was really hoping he would start talking about bees.
Oh, yeah.
Like the killer bees and why they're dying off.
Well,
what isn't happening.
Mark
really
Wahlberg's character is the most aggressive college
or
professor ever.
He'd ask someone what the Mariners score was.
Well, that's... There's a couple...
He kept ripping his cell phone away from a kid.
At one point, first I was like, I thought he was going to ask some of the kids in his... novels class if they're going to want to fight because the conversation becomes so adversarial.
Yeah.
And then...
How does this guy have a job? Is this like every one of his classes?
I know. There's no
well,
way
no, because the Lamar character
like
says later on that he's only been in 4 of his classes. But he's going to the classes because he has to fulfill the credit requirement so he can stay on the basketball team. So one would assume that he's been to every class. Therefore, he's only taught 4 classes. So... No one knows that this is how he teaches his classes.
One of the biggest laughs
it's,
I had is...
Well, it's 4 classes that year.
4 classes that year.
Yeah. I'm sure he's been a teacher for...
I mean, Andre,
I don't know like
Andre Brower
single...
has this one scene where he comes in. He's like, hey, Mark Wahlberg, I've got to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be about his crazy teaching style.
Yeah, because he comes in right after he writes into all these
he's like,
students.
Hey, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, he's going to get called. Nope. Andre Brower's like, hey, is that athlete passing? I'm like, what?
Well, and literally, there's a kid like in his office as Wahlberg walks by going like, oh, he was insulting everybody. Bye. And he's like, oh, hold on. And he goes out and you think he's going to yell at him, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he calls out a tennis player for asking him why he plays tennis and basically accusing him of not living up to his potential. Then he calls out the basketball player and yells at him about not being in his class enough and talking on his phone. And then he manages to insult everybody in the lecture hall.
Everyone.
By pointing out Brie Larson and saying basically she's the only worthwhile person in this entire room because she's a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
And everyone
but then
sucks.
He insults her too. He's
yeah.
like,
that she's
if you're
not
come in my
up
class,
to it.
You live yeah. up to it. Like, sit up front where you belong, whatever. It's like,
and then finally,
well, who
some,
in this
like,
class do you not hate?
Some hippie chick's like, hey man, we're all people. And he's basically like, go shut up.
Like, pull off your right. pants.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. Really, really crazy scene. Mm-hmm. We should also mention that Jessica Lange is in this movie.
Yes.
As Mark Wahlberg's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in the next scene, he's at a tennis court.
Yeah.
And the tennis kid is playing. So, and I'm like, well, what the hell is going on? Because in the opening credits, he's quite recklessly watching a basketball game while driving, watching the game on his cell phone. And we later find out, I think he's supposed to be watching this Lamar kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a scene later on where he gets offended when someone says he's betting on the game. So he's actually not betting on the game. He actually cares about this kid in his class. But even though he treats him like dirt, treats him like dirt in the class. But then later on, he makes a play, and he's like, yeah, in the bathtub watching him play.
Yeah, but that's after. Lamar called him out.
So now he only cares about kids that treat him like junk.
Basically.
Okay.
Here's what bothers me overall about this movie is every time you see Mark Wahlberg in a setting, like things are at like 100 level. He goes to the casino. He's in hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and he's playing $100,000 hands on blackjack. He's betting it all on roulette. The first time you see him in class, he's yelling at students and ripping them and basically telling everyone sucks at life. So we're left to think this is how Mark Wahlberg is all the time.
I think it is how Mark Wahlberg is. Wait till we get to the jewelry store scene.
That's the best scene in the whole other movie.
That's what I don't get. Like, usually in decent movies, you see people behaving normally the first time, and then things happen throughout the movie, and then, like that Mark Wahlberg classroom scene normally would be, like, the third classroom scene you'd see in a movie. Yeah, so you see some sort of progression to it. It's like, if this is how he is all the time, how does he have any money?
Yeah.
Two, how does he still have a job at this college when, like... As anyone who's been to college knows, you have to like fill out a survey at the end of a semester.
Yeah.
Like, what are people putting on these surveys if every day in class is like this?
Yeah,
like, I feel like I think the thing that was weird about the movie too is it feels like it picked it up in the middle of the story, like Brian's saying it, because you pick it up and he's already $260,000 in debt and he's like trying to win it back and he's losing and he's a dick to his students and all this stuff.
Yeah,
it feels like he missed the first act of that where he gets into debt for whatever reason.
Because they give us the baseline that's set for these characters is so crazy. And again, I love Jessica Lange. I always love Jessica Lange in things, and I think her performance here is fascinating. But I have no idea what's going on. The character she's giving us is very rich and fully realized for her. But as an audience member, I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. Because she has a super confrontational relationship with Mark Wahlberg. And it's always
there's a vague reference to, like, she kicked her husband out. And maybe Mark Wahlberg's upset because he never got to know his dad. But that's never touched on in any tremendous depth.
No.
And until this point, I assumed that the old guy who died at the beginning was his father, not his grandfather.
Yeah. I do love Jessica Lange's, like, Billy Baldwin and Sliver voice that she uses all through this. She's like, it wouldn't be the first time I've said goodbye to someone I love. I'm like, oh, all right.
At first, too, and so, in the next scene, which Cody was talking about, where they're playing tennis and that tennis player from Wahlberg's class is playing tennis with her. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like her boyfriend.
Yeah, I thought
when
that
they're first going.
His role.
Because,
he comes back in later than like an important part, and I'm like,
it's a crucial part that happens off screen. It's only glazed.
But I'm like trying to remember who he was in the movie because he's like.
And we should set him up too.
What is he even.
Well, so there's a tennis player. He has a star basketball player and a star tennis player in his class, coincidentally. This is so crazy. The star tennis player, according to Mark Wahlberg, is one of the best in the world, like ranked like second or third in the world in his age group.
I think he was second,
Second. And Lamar, who is a star basketball player. The movie basically tells us pay a lot of attention to what's going on with Lamar. Doesn't tell us to pay a lot of attention to what's going on with the tennis player. Mm-hmm. Arguably, the tennis player is more important to the story that we're going to watch than Lamar is.
They both play a big part.
They both play a part.
But Lamar's not important until he needs to be important. Then also, it's like, oh, that gave that guy lines.
Right.
Like, he doesn't speak until that point.
Yeah. So, the tennis player...
Somehow Mark Wahlberg's mom at some point was like, hey, son, I need, like, somebody to hit around with. Do you have anyone in your class that could play tennis with me for money?
I don't even know why.
Yeah, because
she pays him at the end.
Yeah, she says, hey, don't like, go easy on me, all right? She hands him a check or something.
Says, if you let me win again, I'll fire you or something like that.
Which, by the way, he presumably is a college athlete. This is not the worst thing Mark Wahlberg does in the movie. But basically breaks NCAA, has this kid break an NCAA rule. You know, not the, it's very minor compared to what we're going to get into. what our hero is going to get into. Yeah. But
he basically,
the school must be North Carolina.
Sounds like
things that went on there.
He basically confesses to his mother that he owes all his money or whatever, and she's like, "Oh, you know, if you need me to give you money, I will." And he's like, "No, I don't need your money."
Why did Mark Wahlberg even go over there?
I don't know.
Like they show that he hates his mother.
Yeah.
He says that he owes money. She offers to give him money. He says, "I don't want it."
Yeah.
Nothing is established. The scene doesn't move the movie forward in any way.
It was just like a way to introduce Mark Wahlberg's mom, and they probably figured like, oh, it'd be weird if we showed this scene without Mark Wahlberg being there, since the whole movie is shown through his eyes.
And I feel like they wanted to establish the tennis player a little bit more with the audience, though I don't know if the movie really, if the scene really accomplishes that.
I don't even think we see him again until the end.
No, we don't.
When he has done something very major to the plot.
Yeah. So now, Mark Wahlberg then goes to talk to John Goodman.
Yes.
About his issues and the potential of a loan, and John Goodman just proceeds to berate. I like John Goodman in this. It's a little like Jessica Lange.
He's the one character I liked.
Yeah. His character probably is the character that actually is the most successfully realized in the film.
Yeah.
And he just berates.
And he wasn't in it enough.
He's really the only character you kind of understand where he's coming from.
Yeah. He's the one who says, you know, are you really sure you want a loan from me? Because you think this guy you owe money to is dangerous, but I'm dangerous. But he's not threatening, which makes you know that he's real, because he doesn't have to be threatening. So he's got teeth.
I love the moment where he said something about how you shouldn't fuck a stranger in the ass because of the Big Lebowski, where
he's trashing the cards on you.
This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
That's amazing. I didn't catch that.
Was there any real reason in the movie why the Omar character and the John Goodman character are different characters?
Because he has to owe money to like
he owes four money to, people, a, to an so. Asian he owes money to, Korean. To a Korean gangster
yeah,
too.
So yeah. He owes money to the Korean guy in the beginning, and then he's like borrows money from Omar to try to pay the Korean off, and then he's got to borrow money from
Frank to pay back
Omar. It's like, so
I really
and
feel
John
that
Goodman's willing to give him this
yeah
loan.
John Goodman yeah. basically like he's third. Like he's like, I'll give you the money, all you have to do is say that you're worthless and you're not a man,
which is kind of funny.
Yeah,
which is basically admit who you are.
That's all you gotta do is say that to me and I'll give you the money, and Wahlberg walks away from it. He won't do it
because he's got pride. I guess
we then get, and we're moving forward a little bit, after another crazy Mark Wahlberg lecture, Lamar, who's this star basketball player, hangs out to talk to Mark Wahlberg.
Wahlberg makes him stay.
Because that's later on.
So this is kind of contradictory.
We need to do the Brie Larson.
Yeah,
you're right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so at one point, Wahlberg's just like hanging out in his empty classroom doing work or whatever, and Brie Larson comes and sits down, and they start talking, and she basically is like, I'm interested in you, and he's a total dick to her.
He is terrible to
people. Did he ask her to meet him?
Now this is where I was confused. No,
she shows up and he's up in the audio booth or whatever in this lecture hall.
And he goes on the PA announce mic and he says, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "The paper said A+, see me. I'm here."
Right.
And he said, "Oh, well, I don't want to see you." And she's like, "Then why did you put see me on the paper?"
That's what I didn't get.
So it was confusing. Specifically, I think he wrote, like, see me, I want to talk to you. Maybe to say, look, I'm sorry about treating you like crap in front of class, but I genuinely think you've got talent. What are you doing in my class? You should be in another school or whatever, or you should be in another professor's class. I just teach. Because part of the thread here, one of the few threads that I was able to grasp, is that Mark Wahlberg sort of resents the fact that he's teaching a class about the American novel. Because he's sort of this
kind
of
intellectual. Did you get that when he actually said,
I hate teaching classes
about the
character. Well, this is the only thread the character has that you can actually get, you know, to the core of, is that he kind of has this sort of like, he wishes he had talent like Shakespeare, and he doesn't. He writes what he thinks are crummy novels. We as the audience don't know whether or not these novels are actually crummy, but he believes they are. So he's got this massive chip in his shoulder. So then he meets this girl who he clearly thinks has got it. And now you think that he's going to, obviously, the assumption was he was going to pursue a romantic relationship with her, and that was going to add another dynamic to the plot. But the other thing was that maybe he was going to try to reach out to her in some way and say, well, look, you're what I could have been, you know, what are you doing here? But then when she comes to the class and says, you said, you wrote a note in the paper, come and see me. And he's like, I don't want to see you. What the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, he tells her, like, he's like, get out.
He doesn't encourage her at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I would, skipping ahead, at no point in the film does he genuinely encourage her or provide her with, like, any assistance, really.
No.
Yeah.
And once again, there's no connection between him seeing, or her seeing him at the gambling house. Right.
No. Which, well, once again, she mentions it once, but that was it.
That whole first part completely moot because they already have a relationship as a professor and student. So what does it matter that she knows about
it? Makes it
double life of his.
I feel like it's almost like they just were like, "Ooh, we should establish that she knows he has a gambling problem because some of the terrible decisions that are made moving forward, you know, like we should at least establish she knows like how awful he is." I guess this is really weird.
Yeah, it
doesn't I don't
work.
Know. So after another, he has Lamar stay after another rage-filled lecture.
Well, in that time, he tells everyone to get out except for Lamar.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone leave. Just leave. Lamar, you stay here.
What actually is he... When does he actually teach these kids anything?
I don't think he's teaching anyone anything. I just...
Well, he also seems to discourage, because this scene's kind of funny, because he says that, you know, in this book that they're reviewing, he says that of course, the gunman fires 6 bullets, but the last bullet is for himself, and he says, Lamar, what do you think? He kind of rips the cell phone out of Lamar's hand again, because Lamar's not paying attention. And he says, so Lamar, what do you think? Like, trying to catch him in a trap. And Lamar actually gives a pretty good answer. He says, well, I don't know. Maybe he only had 5. Maybe there's no bullet in the chamber. And he gives a pretty good extrapolation of the meaning of the scene that he's trying to teach. And Wahlberg's basically like, no, my idea is wrong. My idea is better. And then he goes on another rant. And he starts screaming about how he could stand there naked. No one would pay attention to him. And you all suck. Get out of my class except you, Lamar. And now all of a sudden, Lamar basically kind of verbally slaps him and says, I got this bad knee and I'm only a sophomore. And if I don't go pro now, I'm going to lose my chance. And you think I don't care.
Why is Lamar opening up to this guy who has been nothing but a lunatic to Lamar? Probably the most unstable and unlikable person in Lamar's world. But the movie wants us to believe that Lamar's like, hey man, I bond with you. On what?
Well, once again, it's like Cody said, like, you feel like you've missed scenes from before the movie started that like established these relationships.
Like the first act was lopped off in editing.
Yeah. Yeah. I
because I felt like there should have been some scene where they actually showed why he feels like he can confide in him.
Some connection, maybe even just a scene where Mark Wahlberg as a human being relates to Lamar, rather than just Lamar like just pulling a name out of a hat and being like, this is the guy I'm going to pour my heart out to. My frustration, my notes start getting more and more frustrated at this point in the movie. I'm trying to think of where he stands financially. So he now owes
owes like everyone money. He hasn't borrowed from Frank yet.
The only number we get, apart from the numbers that flash on the screen telling us how many days he has left, is the money he owes to the Omar character, which is $206,000, correct?
I think that's all together. He owes
person.
I think he owed like $2,000 to the Korean guy, and then Omar lent him money too. So now I think total it's $260,000.
Oh, because I thought at the end of the movie, doesn't he borrow the $206,000 from?
No, 260.
260 from Frank, gives it all to Lamar, and then...
Well, that's a whole other thing we're going to have to get into. Because what he actually does with the money towards the end of the movie is very much up for debate.
Yeah.
Because
he doesn't give anything to Lamar. He wins the bet for him.
So we,
that gets him out. That the winning the bet is what...
Yeah.
You're right.
So basically, he goes back to his house, and he's like sitting in his bathtub watching a basketball game where Lamar is playing, and he's...
He seems to be rooting him on.
Yeah. And then his mother comes in.
Yeah. In a scene that...
Well, he got his car taken before that, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think during the scene.
Every couple of days, every couple of scenes, he gets challenged by Omar in random places. basically pushing on him, where's my money, where's my money, where's my money? And each time it gets worse for him.
Yeah.
And the last time before it gets physical is he says, I'm going to take your car as collateral, and he steals his
car. So his mother,
and then how did that not already be, he had like a great car. This should have been gone a long time ago.
And what was the Korean guy doing the whole time when he owed him hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Yeah, I'd be like, give me your nice car, dude. I'm taking it.
He showed up one time and threw him in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
So his mom, that set up that awkward scene with Mark Wahlberg and Brie Larson, where Mark Wahlberg needs a ride home, and
that's coming up. But first, we get the Jessica Lange scene.
His mom comes in and she's like, "Oh, this guy called up and he's threatening me, he's threatening the family. So I'm gonna give you the money. Let's go to the bank now."
Yeah.
So they go down to the bank, and
she basically like makes Mark Wahlberg go to the bank. Like she's just
then they're both
a bank teller.
Yeah, they're both dicks to a bank teller.
They're both.
You can see where Mark Wahlberg's character gets it from.
I guess so.
It reminded me of that skit that SNL used to do, where it's always like two a-holes and then like doing something.
Yeah,
like two a-holes buying a Christmas tree. Yeah. Like, hey, what do you want, babe? I don't know, babe. What do you want?
Yeah.
And then they just be assholes to whoever that two a-holes getting money out of the bank.
She's awful to them, and I'm like,
she is.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, my father-in-law started this bank. I was like, what does that matter? If the money's in there, then you can withdraw it. Why would you even bring that up?
I half wanted this clerk to just be like, you know what? I'm just gonna get my manager. I don't want to talk to you two psychos anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
So they get the money, and she's basically like, you know, don't ever talk to me again. We're done. He's like, yeah, we're done. And then she leaves the movie, right?
She is. She's like, never talk to me again. And I'm like, I'm just like, what is going on? What, we're supposed to just believe that this relationship is so fractured, but the movie has not given us any of the story.
Yeah.
To be, also, you go from like however many days before it was, he just like pops in on his mom, watches her play tennis. So like, it obviously can't be that bad that he's there, seeing her without just any sort of ulterior motive. And then they never speak to each other again after this.
That's it. And again, I love Jessica Lange. She's a great actress. I just don't know what is going on in this movie. So now he's, even though he has this money.
Yeah, he has the money. So now he's got the money to pay off.
$175,000 or something like that.
She gives him.
She gives him the $260,000.
Yeah, I think it was.
She gets him everything.
Yeah. But so he has the money now. The movie's over.
Movie could be over. He has no car. He's sitting at a bus stop, and Brie Larson pulls up in her car, and says, "If I have to pull you into an inappropriate relationship to get you out of your job, I will."
In front of other people.
In front of other people.
And Mark Wahlberg makes like a sheepish thumbs up, thumbs down gesture to a woman sitting next to him, and she gives him the thumbs up, like, do it. And he goes, okay, in this scene that's supposed to be funny.
But this is a college professor now entering a relationship with his student.
They could have ended the movie right here, right? He's got the $260,000, right?
Yeah.
His mom has kicked him out. He didn't like his family anyway, apparently. Now he's sitting on a bus stop. Now he no longer has all the fancy stuff that he used to have. And the girl of his dreams pulls up and says, here's your shot to get out of your crummy job, but it means you got to take a chance with me. As a gambler, he likes to take chances. So they run into the car and they drive away, and the audience is left to decide what's going
to happen. I would say if the movie went to black at that moment and credits rolled, it would have been a more emotionally satisfying ending than what we get for the next hour. We have an hour more movie that takes us nowhere.
Yeah. Because they go to the desert and they're discussing life or whatever. He's like, I'm not really a gambler. Well, I don't know what he's talking about.
And he even says to her, he goes, yeah, if I can, I should do it in my Mark Wahlberg. I can't do my Mark Wahlberg voice, but if I can get to nothing, I can start over. And I'm like, you aren't nothing. You have the money to pay your debts. You are there. Like, movies should be over. Mm-hmm. You know,
The thing too is like, it's not even like, they don't even portray Mark Larson as Mark Larson, my boss, Mark Larson, Mark Wahlberg, as even like losing a lot in terms of like possessions, because they show the apartment in. And it's like a crappy little apartment. It's not like there's like fancy electronics or stuff.
I think it's a house.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a tiny house,
which makes it even more.
I mean, his bathroom is pretty crummy. He's like watching TV on a stool in his bathtub, like. And the TV looks like it's from 1990 that he's watching it on.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
And so I was so confused the whole time about like what exactly Mark Wahlberg's like financial status was. Because, like, on one hand, if he owes people hundreds of thousands of dollars, that means that he had quite a bit of wealth. We know he comes from a wealthy family, and yet he just gets his crappy car taken away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well,
and two, sorry, one yeah. other quick thing. When he's dealing with the one, the wire guy's loan shark, the wire guy does some research and realizes that Mark Wahlberg comes from a very wealthy family. He's like, yeah, your family is like the 11th richest family in California. And he keeps asking him, like, so you got some of that money? And Mark Wahlberg is always like, no, not in contact with my family.
Yeah,
we have no money. It's like, that's it? That's how you take care of...
Yeah.
He's like, okay, yeah, well, that would have been convenient if your family's $2 billion fortune was available to you to pay me off $50,000, but guess we can't go down that route.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be too easy.
Yeah.
So
he goes to another casino now.
Yeah, he's like, immediately just goes to another casino and just starts playing blackjack again,
plays
right?
The worst blackjack.
Yeah.
At one point, he doubles... on an 18. That is not just compulsive gambling. It is the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
If I saw someone do that at a blackjack table, I would fully expect that person to be taken away in like a Hannibal Lecter-esque like stretcher. Like,
yeah, and he blows through all the money.
It's
which I think that's what they're going for though, is like he doesn't care. Like, he wants them to do bad things to him. Like, he wants them to kill him. Or he's suicidal, he's depressed. But it's like, well, if that's the case, just let him die then. I don't care about him.
And my thing is, why do we already get this scene? Because we've already had a scene where Brie Larson watches him lose all of his money in a self-destructive way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they were just like, hey, that was like an hour ago. We should have another? I don't know. Like, what? I don't know what it accomplished. Brie Larson has already seen him crash and burn. Yeah, now she's seen him again? Like,
And the thing, too, is... he was consistently, like, one, like, I get gambling and everything. One, I don't get how it's fun, though, to keep losing.
Right.
And it's consistently losing because he has, like, all of his money in, like, stacks. And they show him, like, taking the stacks out one at a time and getting chips. You know, it's not like he just, like, took all the money out and got them huge, like, $100,000 chip and is putting them on and it goes through it like that. Like, he's consistently losing, like, $20,000 at a time. It's like, at some point.
He has known to quit.
Yeah, and once he loses once he had the solution to his problem, mm-hmm. and then just throws it away. At that point, why do you even care about this character? Because he's just an idiot.
That's one of my notes. I'm like, so unlikable.
Yeah,
so unlikable.
So
one would care about the characters in Lord of the Rings if like they get the ring, mm-hmm. and then Frodo's just like,
yeah,
I'm just gonna throw this away. Then you know we can hide it, and then we can find the ring again when it's more challenging later.
Yeah.
So is this where does he go back to Frank now, or is it later?
It's later on. Okay. Now he's
so is this
gonna
the Lamar part then?
Yeah, this is where Omar comes to him and tells Mark Wahlberg, hey, I want you to talk to
First he asks him for Lamar's number.
He's
like, give me Lamar's number. And apparently Wahlberg gives him a wrong number. A fake number.
Which I wish they'd given us a scene where he's like, okay, I've got his number. 555-1234. And Omar's like, all right, I got it.
Because he calls him later. He's like, that number you gave me was fake. He's like, yeah, I made it up.
Yeah. It right. No, he just pops to it immediately. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, he gave you a fake number.
Yeah. So then he's like, I want you to talk to Omar.
That was the part where he could have said, what? No, that was his number?
Can I ask a question, too? I can't believe I'm asking this as a question. Did Mark Wahlberg's house collapse in this movie? Because
I thought that was like a vision, metaphor.
There's like a shot where like all of a sudden a ton
down.
Of water starts rushing by his house and his house collapses. But I was really unclear if that was real life.
I thought that was some kind of like a vision, like the director was trying to be creative.
Yeah, that had to have been.
Like everything is washing out from under his feet because he's losing everything.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, because it was really weird. Like, I was like even if it happens, I'm like, I don't know if that happened or not. Or
it happened and then the result got cut out in the final edit.
I don't know.
Seems like something you wouldn't want to cut out, the results of a house collapsing.
Yeah.
Things couldn't get any worse for Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells Mark Wahlberg that he's like, look, I just talk to Lamar, tell him that, you know, basically he's got to lose, or he can win this game, but he can't win it by more than 7 points because I've got money on the under or whatever.
Yep.
And he's like, and if he doesn't do it, then I'm going to go after him, blah, 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 all this all this threatening stuff.
All this, it basically then just turns into your like a point shaving.
Yeah.
You know, like a point shaving.
And so here I'm like, okay, this is where Wahlberg's going to be redeemed, and he's going to say to Lamar, like, look, you're going to be in trouble. You should probably.
You would think.
I'm going to protect you. You should leave.
That this is going to be a this is where the redemption story. No.
No.
That is what happens.
He goes to Lamar as he's practicing. He's like, look.
I'm in a real bad spot here. I need to help.
I'm gonna give
this
you.
This is on you now.
I'm gonna give. Hey, do you want $150,000 to shave points? Yeah. Lamar, it's totally casual about this concept. Like,
he's like, yeah, sure.
It's like it's not throwing the game. Yeah. You just have to win by less than 8 points.
That's what it was, less than 8.
Yeah, like he's just like, well,
like how Mark Wahlberg basically like leverages Lamar's position of one, not having enough money, and two. Like, having a bad knee.
Well, this movie hangs this on the flimsiest hook of Mark Wahlberg is enlisting a college student in a criminal enterprise and an NCAA-violating one. But we as the audience are supposed to be like, oh, that kid did once say his knee wasn't great, so it's okay. Like, not okay. This is nothing about this is okay. Yeah. Oh, and wait, by the way, we skipped over what might be the nuttiest scene in the movie where Mark Wahlberg goes to pawn his watch.
Oh, yep.
With Richard Schiff as a jewelry store owner.
It's hard to even explain this.
We are not going to be able to do this scene justice. You have to see to believe
He like shouts at him about, I'm going to quote a price and that's it.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, okay, then quote your price. No, you don't understand. I'm going to quote a price, and you're going to pay me that price. We're not going to haggle this, okay?
Imagine.
Okay, tell me your price. No, you're not listening.
You're not getting it. I'm out of here. I'm going to,
Mark Wahlberg says, I don't want to haggle. I'm going to give you the price I'm going to take for it. If you don't offer that price, I'm going to walk. And the guy says, okay, tell me your price. And Mark Wahlberg says, no, I don't think you understand.
Yeah, it goes on.
And he's like.
But he's like.
But he's like screaming. Yeah. Literally, imagine if Brian and I walked into a McDonald's today, and I was just like, I will tell you what I will pay for a Big Mac. And they were like, okay, calm down. We're just doing a transaction here. No, you don't understand. Like it gets so aggressive, so fast, so crazily.
He's like, this watch is an Omega watch, and it's worth $6,000 new, and I'm going to give you a price, and you can say yes or no, but I'm not going to haggle. He's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't even know why this jeweler's even dealing with him. I don't know why the jeweler follows him out into the street. Right. I'd be like, security? Like, get him out of here.
Why is he even selling his watch? He owes hundreds of thousands of dollars. What is like
$4,000
he's
even asking for, do? He's asked for $3,500.
Here's a great question. How does he even still have his watch? Right. Why hasn't Omar taken that watch from him and been like, I'm taking your watch? Like, this is so nuts. So nuts.
But I mean, I would suggest... I don't even know if this is on YouTube or something, but I would suggest renting the movie just for that scene.
Yeah.
Just the yelling. You don't understand. You're not getting it.
That scene's amazing. And the next scene, which is Mark Wahlberg, after he talks to Lamar about point shaving, Mark Wahlberg has an insane conversation with Bree. Well, he does. He gets kidnapped by Omar, which actually...
Oh, that was
where we established that Omar wants Lamar
to shave points. I was at that jewelry store just a few months ago with my wife in LA, where that scene was shot.
Did she haggle like that?
I wish I had.
Were you there by coincidence, or were you there because the gambler was shot?
No, we were in LA. We were going through downtown LA. It's an old theater that is now turned into a jewelry store. So I happened to remember it. And I was like, oh, I pointed that out.
So it is a jewelry store, not like a pawn shop?
Yeah, that's actually not a set. I'm not sure what they do there. I'm not sure. No, it is a jewelry store. Okay. I mean, they just shot the exterior there, I'm guessing. Yeah. But it's right down the street, or not far away from the Bradbury building where they did the all that stuff in Blade Runner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Listen, I want you to understand something. I'm just coming in here to look because this was used for a movie set. I'm not going to buy anything. Okay, that's fine. No! I don't think you understand!
Yeah. Everyone who goes in should do that. So now Mark Wahlberg goes full Henry Cavill in Cold Light of Day on Brie Larson.
Yep.
As she tries to talk to him at the college they're at. And he just like... he's not even like a human being. I don't even know.
He's basically old yelling.
Did we skip the whole part where she followed him around as he gambled his money away?
But that's at the at the casino. That's really that's
at the casino. Basically old yellering her where he's like, get! I don't want you anymore. I'm no good for you. Get!
You know what?
And then when she finally runs away, he does the stereotypical like the reaching for her and then turns around, but he just told her to leave, so that scene made no sense.
And he walks outside. I'm amazed he's still employed as a college professor at this point.
He's frantically packing his office up. I think he's already fired because during the scene, he's frantically packing his stuff.
And he's dating.
I thought he was just dating a student.
Dating one of his
students. Yeah, I thought he was just getting ready to make a run for it if everything went to hell.
Oh, okay.
So I guess at this point,
I don't know what car he would have taken.
Well, can I say too?
He would literally have run.
If I had made this movie,
like he did later. Yeah.
I don't know what the budget of this movie is, but if I was making this movie, I would have dug up an extra $1 million. I would have brought
at least
in
taken a loan.
I would have brought
should have made some bets to try to get $2 million.
But then let it ride on all black and then lose it.
And get it. And I would have brought in Al Pacino for a day. And that would have been
running around in the background.
When Mark Wahlberg walks out, I would have had him go up to be like, I don't know, I gotta find this money. He would have, hey. Just have Al Pacino be like, oh, it's me, Jack Graham, forensic scientist. Let me tell you, kid.
Someone's trying to kill me. Is it you?
Yeah. I got nothing for you. Sexual harassment. I got sued. Didn't go well. Pro tip, watch out for the co-eds. And then just have him walk out. Just to establish that Jack Graham and Mark Wahlberg's character were at the same university.
Yeah.
Would have been probably about 20 people in the world would have found it funny, but it would have been worth it for me.
Hey, you got the Dodgers score.
Yeah.
Did you blow up your car? Is that what your car is? Did you blow it up?
Hey, did you fill out a grade sheet on Guy Lafarge?
He'll be peeking from behind the wall at Mark Wahlberg. I want to do that. I want to edit together the scene where Mark Wahlberg is talking and it cuts to the shot.
Mark Wahlberg goes back to John Goodman and he's like,
yes.
Okay, now I need the money.
I'm not a man. Give me some money.
Yeah. Well, Goodman seems shockingly unaware of the concept of compulsive gambling. For a guy who works as a loan shark, John Goodman seems unaware of how this works. There is no reason in the world for John Goodman to give Mark Wahlberg a nickel.
Right.
Nothing. Shouldn't even be buying him a beer.
Yeah.
But somehow...
But he gives him money and a car.
He gives him money and a car. Like, again, did John Goodman, has his character read the script? And it's like, I guess we need to move this forward. He needs money and a car for this movie to proceed.
Why is anyone giving Mark Wahlberg money?
Especially
no understanding. Well, and then...
I think they think it's funny. I mean, that's the only other explanation I could think of.
Going into this, John Goodman's character has to know that the odds are he's not going to get his money back. So once again, you're left to think that John Goodman is just doing this because he wants to kill everyone in Mark Wahlberg's family.
Especially because all these guys are connected too to each other. Because every time he goes to Frank, one of the other guys is like, "Oh, I heard you went to Frank," and
I'm
sure he's heard from these people like that guy is not going
to.
So
he's already going to know. Omar is already out all of his money to the point where he's beating up Mark Wahlberg in an empty swimming pool. But John Goodman's like, "Well, seems like a good bet to me."
I mean, I guess in a weird way, I can understand why the people who have already loaned him money are giving him more because they probably figure, all right, the only way to get our money back is to give him more. But yeah, from John Goodman's standpoint,
he's not even.
Yeah, it's a clean slate with him. So why would he want to be?
Yeah.
You know, losing money to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, there's nothing in it for him.
So this is where things kind of get confusing with Mark Wahlberg's plan.
Kind of. You are really selling it soft.
We need to write like a diagram to figure out where all the money went in this part.
If you've ever seen the time travel movie Primer, it's easier to understand than what happens in the next 20 minutes.
So he borrows all his money from John Goodman, and then he goes to the Korean guy, and the Korean guy's like, oh, you got my money? And Mark Wahlberg's like, nope, I don't have any money. But I want you to give me more money. And he borrows more money so that he can try to win. He's saying that he's going to try to win this money back.
Yeah, if it makes no sense to you, it makes no sense to any of us.
Yeah, like the Korean guy is beating him up to within an inch of his life.
Right. And he's like,
and somehow that encounter ends with the Korean guy giving him more money.
I know.
They came there to kill him because he didn't pay them back.
Yeah.
And then they give him more money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then Wahlberg gives a chunk of the money that he got from John Goodman to Lamar as like his pay for throwing
for,
the game.
For shaving for points. Shaving points. Yeah, because, yeah.
So then it goes to the whole scene of the basketball game.
We go to a basketball game.
Freaking annoying. Now, I love
how basketball games and movies are always like dramatically lit.
Yeah.
Like everything is like dark and there's like spotlights on the court.
Here's one thing.
Like they don't play basketball like that.
The way the game went, they basically made it seem that Lamar could do whatever he wanted to on the court. Like when he was in, he scores every time he gets the ball. Then when he doesn't, when he starts throwing the game a little bit midway through where he deliberately misses shots, suddenly the other team like comes storming back.
Yeah.
So, for one, this guy's a sophomore in college. If he was so good that he can control the result of a game with what he does, he would not have made it past 1 year in college. He's might be the greatest college basketball player of all time.
Yeah, he's Snake Plissken in Escape from LA. Like, he just does whatever he wants with a basketball, like, at any time. So then he basically throws the game too early, which also doesn't really make sense. And then comes back in. Lamar comes back in.
And they're down
in
by like 5 or 6 with like 5 minutes left. Yeah. And then he starts making baskets.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that bothers me. So they're up by 7.
Yeah.
Lamar has the ball with like 10 seconds left. He's dribbling up the court. And the scene ends with him dribbling and then taking a shot right before the buzzer.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the next scene right before you see if the shot went in or not.
Right.
Yeah.
To make it dramatic. Why is he even taking that shot? He has the ball.
No, I think he's taking it because they want you to think that, like, why he's not taking it. But I think they're up by 6 and he takes a shot. And then you find out that somebody had bet a bunch of money on 8 points.
No, the spread's the spread. The spread was 7.
But what's his name says
it was 8
like,
points.
But what's his name? Omar was like, someone bet all this money on 8 points and made all this money. You know anything about that? And Walt was like, nope. But
no, I think he was just pointing out that someone else put a really large wager on the game, and he was suspicious about that.
No, I don't know.
Well, this is where I got confused. Okay, so Omar needed. I can't believe how much we're gonna have to talk about this. Omar needed.
They needed Lamar's them to team, win,
but by 7.
By 7 or less.
By 7 or less.
Or they could have lost.
Eight or less, I think it was.
Was it 8? I thought it was seven.
Yeah.
I seem
to remember the number 7.
But this movie is portraying to us that they probably won by 8, right?
No, that's what made me angry about that scene. If he made that shot that they showed,
right,
that would have messed everything up.
Okay.
Which is why I don't get why he even takes the shot. Like, I get in the movie, you want it to be dramatic.
Right.
But if he's the one with the ball, he could have dribbled out the clock.
Yeah. So who, okay.
Well, I think, too, they're trying to make it look like he's having second thoughts and...
But they're going to win the game anyway. What does it matter? They're up by 6.
Because he's feeling like, they want you to think like he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't take the money. Maybe I should not, maybe I should get above 7.
But he already took the money, didn't he?
He already took the money.
Because the money was in his locker already.
This is a crazy question. How many points did the Lamar team win by?
They won by 6.
They won by 6. Okay. So
it was 6 or 7, but... Regardless, if he had made that last shot,
Omar was satisfied with this result. So it was whatever he was looking for.
If he had made that last shot, the bet would have got him messed up for the loan shark.
So Omar says, okay, hey, Mark Wahlberg, good job. Our debts are clear, I guess. Although Omar says it in a way that's so confusing that even by the end of the scene, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, our debts are cleared, but we can make, basically, he's like, we can make a lot of money if you just keep teaching college or young basketball players. And
Mark Wahlberg's like, hey man, I'm drilling one of my students. I'm a rageaholic.
I may or may not still be working there.
It's good. I got about 10 minutes so Andre Brower finds out about what's been going on in my life. Like, I am not, this is not a long-term proposition. Then Omar says somebody made a huge bet on the Lamar team winning by 8.
Right. So I think what you're supposed to assume is that Mark Wahlberg told John Goodman's character about it. And that's how he
I think he sent the tennis player to Vegas.
Because then tennis tennis guy came. But how if how to me I don't understand okay, how yeah, both that was it. How both Omar how Omar could be okay with the outcome and tennis guy was making money if he bet on them winning by 8. I don't understand.
No, they just bet on the spread.
Right.
The spread.
Oh, so the spread
was
changed.
Probably 7.5.
Okay.
So Lamar's team was 7.5-point favorites probably.
Yeah.
So that's why if they won by 7 or less or lost.
Yeah.
Then the Lone Sharks bet and Mark Wahlberg's bet was good.
I don't understand betting enough to and spreads.
But then how did Vegas? How did the tennis guy make money?
Well, because Mark Wahlberg gave him that money. Yeah. Like, put it all on.
He bet on it too.
On the other
because
team.
He needed extra money to help get him out of his. Because
that's why.
To be fair, I think even the tennis player asked, "Why did I just do that?" He's like, why did you send me to Vegas with this one? And then, because Wahlberg tries to give him like $50,000 out of it. And he's like, he basically says, like, I'm going to be on the Wheaties box in a couple months because I'm so good at tennis. I don't need your.
Yeah.
I don't even get why the Loan Shark guy, the Omar guy, cared. Like, he made his money. Who cares?
I still don't understand.
Maybe he was looking for a way to get a little extra on top because he figured that Mark Wahlberg couldn't pay him interest.
I don't understand. I don't know. I don't understand how it
or why he cared that somebody else bet like Vegas. Because why would he know that and why would he give a crap?
Omar needed them.
A lot of people probably bet on that.
This is
game.
So confusing.
This is so confusing. Omar needed them to win by less than 8, but it seems like Mark Wahlberg's
needed
them
to win
bet
by
needed
exactly.
To win by
no,
8.
It was the same. They both bet on the same thing.
Okay.
Oh,
but Mark Wahlberg was like, just taking advantage of the firm.
So when Omar said that whole thing about somebody bet big on 8, that we're supposed to believe that's not.
Well,
that's
why would Omar give a crap about what somebody else?
No,
is
I think
betting.
You're supposed
it has nothing
to think that
to do
was
with
tennis guy.
But he bet on them winning by 8.
He did.
Yeah, they mentioned 8.
Yeah, Omar says somebody put a lot of money down on them winning by 8, and I'm like,
so is the implication here?
Like,
wait,
what?
Is the implication? Think, okay, wait a second.
Well, a movie called The Gambler, I don't think they understand how gambling.
Are they saying? Yeah. Are they saying that Omar didn't get his money from the Lamar?
No, he
twist,
got it. No, he got his money.
But he got his money from Mark Wahlberg and
no,
was
he
okay
got
with
no,
losing
no,
the money.
No.
From the, Omar,
okay, so,
Omar got his.
So Omar won and Mark Wahlberg won.
Yeah, which is, as Brian
yeah, everybody
said,
won.
I think Brian's right. I think for a movie called The Gambler, I don't think they understand how gambling and point spreads
work. Well,
they should
have watched Runner Runner.
Yeah, that's
so.
There you go.
Like you can bet more money to get points when you gamble on games, but I've never heard of someone gambling to go from a 7-point to an 8-point. Like that just completely pointless.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
All right, so now Mark Wahlberg is calling up John Goodman and the Koreans and saying...
Because he only has enough to pay one.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I've got your money. I'll tell you where to meet me. And...
okay, where do you want me to meet you? No, you're not listening. Yeah. We're going to meet, but I'm going to tell you where we're going to meet. Yeah, okay, where are we going to meet? No, you're not listening.
You're not getting it.
Yeah. You're not getting it.
And so he goes through... There's a crazy scene where he walks through an almost empty theater where, like... Like 7 people are watching a ballet performance. There's also a ventriloquist hanging around. Did anybody notice that? He just walks through there. He seems to go through an empty theater, a hospital, a kitchen, what looks like a telemarketing operation, and then a gambling den.
Very, very underground.
I
think it was video poker. I seem to remember there being like cards on the screens.
So both John Goodman and the Koreans are there. And so he basically says, I've got enough money to pay one of you. I'm going to put all of that money...
But he didn't even tell him that, though. He's just like...
We, the audience, know that, but I don't think he told them that.
He just comes in with all their money, and then he's like, I'm going to bet it all now.
Well, I think he tells them that when they're there.
Say anything to John Goodman.
That's true. Goodman's in the total dark on this.
Yeah, John Goodman, basically, he sees Mark Wahlberg there, knows he has the money... Sees him take all the money out of his bag and then bet it on
roulette
again.
Roulette, just a game of
the
pure chance.
Yeah. And John goes like, "What the hell is he doing? Like, he has my money."
Couldn't he have just invested the money he had, put it in some nice escrow fund, and then over the years gain interest? And in like 30 years, said John Goodman, "Look, I have your money now too."
Yeah.
Or if he wanted to do it a little quicker than that, he could do like he promised Omar and just write a novel, churn out something, and then make the money off of that and give him the profits.
I don't know. So he puts all of his money on black and roulette.
Which is what he didn't get in the beginning of the movie.
It comes up, black 22, He doubles his money. He said, okay, it's not actually my money. Pay it to John Goodman and this nice Korean gentleman.
Wouldn't have been really frustrating if he doubled it up again. He's like, oh, now I'll put everything
on. Yeah, he keeps going.
I haven't expected him to do it.
I was furious at this point because I'm like, this just came down to luck.
Oh, yeah.
His character is no different. Has not progressed. This was just, had it come up red, presumably Mark Wahlberg would have just been murdered by John Goodman, and he didn't do anything.
Wouldn't it have been a lot easier just to like wait till the next college basketball game and be like, all right, Lamar, just like one more time, and we'll be good.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
because when you're point shaving, you do it once, like it doesn't really matter if you do it again.
If you do it, what a terrible person he is. He is corrupted two of the nation's biggest college athletes.
He's
slept with a student who is depending on him for an education. He has wasted so much.
He's cut his family ties.
And we're supposed
he squandered his mother's money.
He's basically corrupted Jahlil Okafor and
never paid.
And
some tennis.
There's no famous American tennis players.
I know
Andre Agassi 20 years ago.
Yeah. And now
Fish. This last 2 minutes of the movie was where his turn is, I guess, because this is when he's like, all right, I'm done with that, and I'm going to go Forrest Gump it to
He does. I have that note, too. Yeah. He runs.
John Goodman's like, oh, you run all this money for me. He's like, there's actually extra money. You want the extra money? He's like, no. He's like, you want to ride? And he's like, no, I'm good. And he just runs off into the night.
And when we say he runs Forrest Gump style, like, it's a sequence of like...
A montage of him running.
A montage of like minutes of him running. How does he even know where she lives? I guess...
Well, they had a fling so he would know. Otherwise, he read it on her student transcript. I don't know.
I don't think... Yeah, but their fling was really just one night in the casino. Because this whole story took place over like a week.
Mm-hmm. And he's no actual interest in her as a person or any respect for her as a person.
Because he runs to her apartment. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why is he going there? But then the thought occurred to me, he doesn't have any other like friends.
He shouldn't have any other friends.
I mean, he's cut ties with his mom.
He was running like to his family's business or whatever they do. And he's like, now I'm going to make like an honest living and work. And I'm going
to,
you know.
Oh, I totally figured he's going to the girl. But he's running to the girl.
I would have loved if this movie.
It doesn't make sense for him to go to the girl because he treated like shit the whole movie and they didn't really have any real relationship at all.
No.
So it's like, he's clearly an abusive like person just in general.
Absolutely. The best ending to this movie would have been Brie Larson being like,
nope,
showing him a restraining order like
or
when
him
he showed
hit
up
by a car while he was running.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And I didn't even get the last shot of the movie is him like when he goes up to the apartment and she hears like the elevator or something open and she's sitting in her room like reading or something and she hears someone coming up and she like perks up and her eyes get real wide. It's like, why is she, like, people must be coming up and down that floor all day. Why did she, like...
It's an apartment building. If you're really surprised every time someone walks by your apartment
I know, like, when I'm sitting
building,
on my sofa and I hear someone enter, I'm like...
He's coming up the dungwaiter.
Is it the woman of my dreams walking through that door right now? Yeah.
Is that guy, who's been verbally abusive to me in every scene we've had together? Boy, I hope so. Terrible.
Is that guy I've witnessed gambling for years at this weird gambling house, losing thousands of dollars?
Wasn't she working at that casino at the end of the movie and she was there like biting her nails to see if he'd make the win? I mean, why that would have put
that
her in
that would
the
have
scene.
Been more about yeah. Is that middle-aged ex-college professor who doesn't have his own car anymore?
Boy, has no job, no money.
Ugh.
Well, someone's gonna have to support the two of them. It's not gonna be Mark Wahlberg.
I know it's her, I'd be assuming like, oh no, he's in trouble, he's trying to hide out here at my apartment and he's going to
so guys don't beat him up again. Yeah. This movie amazingly was at 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how.
I think there's enough strong acting in it and like the cinematography was nice.
I was going to say it was
the editing was interesting.
Some nice style to it, I thought.
The music was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's the music and the style and some of the cinematography was cool, but beyond that it was
I described it to my wife as I said, if you kind of had it on in the background, you might be like, oh yeah, this movie's fine. But if you're actually watching it, you're like, this is not fine.
Yeah,
this is terrible.
And this is a remake too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
ending of the James Caan original is quite different.
It is a much more
downbeat ending. Which
what I was hoping for this whole movie was...
Spoiler for the James Caan movie, they do fix a basketball game And then, so imagine there's the scene with Omar where he says they're okay. Mm-hmm. And then the John Goodman and the Korean characters aren't part of the original, really. So he pays off his debt by fixing the basketball game. Then he leaves, and the James Caan character sees a pimp beating up a prostitute, and James Caan tries to intervene, and the prostitute slices James Caan's face with a knife, and he smiles because he kind of likes it, and that's the end of the movie. Where basically his life is clearly still as dysfunctional, yeah. And they don't even try to do it as, like, there's no redemption. This movie's attempt to do a redemption is what's insane.
Yeah, that's what I don't even know why the story needed to be told. I don't even know if this was a story. Like,
it's not.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No character is different.
Yeah, there's no development at all. And I feel like when you're making a movie, you either need to make the decision that, all right, we're going to try to make this character redeemable and likable and give the audience something to take away from him or her, or you need to go the other on and be like, oh, we need to show how despicable this person is,
yeah,
and make you feel something that way. And like we've been talking about, I feel like this movie just never went in either direction.
Either way, yeah. You feel apathy really towards the end. You're like, I don't really care if Mark Wahlberg's character lives or dies.
I almost wanted him to get like help. Like, I would like, can you call like Gamblers Anonymous and like go away for a little bit?
Well, here's the other part of the quote unquote redemption story. He is not any better off. He is not dealing. Clearly, he has a gambling addiction that is never dealt with. Like, there's not even an indication that he is going to deal with that.
The only thing I can think is when, at the end, when John Goodman offers him some of the extra money that he wins, I guess we're supposed to think like, oh, he turned the money down. Like, he's finally turned the corner.
Yeah.
But that's such like a shallow, you know, little thing to put in the end. Like, did he really?
There's no depth there.
Yeah, this is. I really think it has, the performances are strong, the cinematography and editing are strong, but like as a story, this is one of the worst films we've done on the show. I mean, I'm thinking of countless other movies we've done where actually the narrative is stronger than what we had here. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I don't even want to do a So Wrong It's Right. I didn't want to like research this movie any more than I had to. I don't know how it got so many good actors in it. And hopefully, but what if there was a sequel?
Well, I know that Scorsese was at one time attached to direct.
Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio were briefly attached. And my guess
is... And they read the script.
I feel like that's probably what happened. I feel like they were like, oop, get me out of here. Yep. I will say one So Wrong It's Right. It's kind of funny. James Toback, who wrote the original James Caan movie and is credited as an executive producer on this one, although I don't know if he really was in favor of this remake. If you Google James Toback and Gawker, some pretty funny articles will come up about this, his kind of cheesy pickup attempts in New York City. It's a series that Gawker's been doing, and it's very funny. I think that brings this one to a close. You guys have anything else? Everyone feel good? All right.
I feel good.
I know none of us feel good. Just like another rage-inducing movie.
I feel like Mark Wahlberg after an all-night bender at the gambling casino.
I think you're going to say you feel like Mark Wahlberg during a lecture in his classroom. Yeah. All right, we will be back soon with more movies, more bad movie fun, more guests. See you later. Bye.